Well, today we welcome a new station into the Takeaway family. It's KFAI in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. Welcome. And this story, it comes to us straight from your backyard. A very outspoken anti-gay pastor was recently outed by an LGBT magazine called Lavender Magazine. Undercover reporters saw him at a church-run 12-step support group that's supposed to focus on men who are grappling with same-sex attraction. Minnesota is the home of 12-step programs. The anonymity they provide is part of their promise, their vow to the participants, and it's part of the reasons they're so successful there. So, did Lavender undermine 12-step programs by going undercover and revealing this that the pastor was participating, or is this just part of their journalistic integrity? Neil Carlin is a writer in Minneapolis. He's written several articles on the state's rehabilitation and 12-step programs. Good morning.
How you doing?
Explain to us what happened here. This pastor was attending a 12-step program for men who are dealing with same-sex attraction. What kind of program is that?
It was run via the Lutheran Church, which he was a pastor in, and he had been very outspoken. He had a cable access show on Saturday mornings. It was sort of Wayne's World Goes to Hell, where he'd rail against homosexuality, gay rights, etc. And if you listen to him, it was hard to think that he was, you know, just anti-gay rights. He seemed like a homophobe. And then cut to a couple weeks ago when the local gay magazine, Lavender, had a reporter, it turned out, for 7 months attending this support group run by the Lutheran Church for men trying to stay abstinent from their inclinations for same-sex relationships.
Is this a 12-step program that purports to cure homosexuality?
Not cure it. It's not like, you know, in Bruno or something where it's, you know, they wave things, but just deal with it in a way that you can be abstinent, which I guess is okay in the church. But this guy, in this guy's branded the church, but he had sort of gone way out there. Like last year, the National Convention of the Evangelical Lutherans okayed a referendum to allow there to be ordination of gay pastors, and at around the same time, a tornado struck Minneapolis, and he came out and said that the tornado had struck the convention hall right at that moment as God's will at the abomination of what was going on in Minneapolis. So he was pretty out there, and so the reporter spent 7 months. He lied to get into the meeting, and he was able to reveal that what the guy was saying in the meeting, which included, well, I guess this is me, you know, it's not unethical if you repeat it, right? But it was, you know, that he had been fighting this battle and had slipped several times. And at first it seemed sort of delicious. We've become sort of the king of conservative
voyeurism,
outings,
right?
Like with Senator Larry Craig last year at the Minneapolis airport.
But it raises a serious ethical issue. Neil Carlin is a writer in Minneapolis. He's written several articles on the 12-step programs there. Randy Cohen writes the Ethicist column for the New York Times. Randy, explain the ethical issue here. This man was in a program where he was promised anonymity. That's one of the reasons he was so forthcoming, I imagine, in the meetings. Was it unethical for this journalist to lie to get into this program and then out him?
There are a couple issues here. The first thing is we really respect medical privacy so as not to discourage people from seeking treatment, and that's a fine thing. But it's important to point out here, there was no medicine, there was no disease. Being gay is not a medical problem. So in what sense did this group deal with addiction? Just calling something a 12-step program doesn't mean it has a right to privacy. So on those grounds, I think the magazine acted fine. Now, the other issue is one about going undercover. May a journalist go undercover? That necessarily involves a lie. And this is controversial. Many people are opposed to that. But around the world, most journalistic organizations favor it under certain conditions. Here's the rule that the British National Union of Journalists uses. Rule 5, if you're keeping score at home, it says, a journalist shall obtain information only by straightforward means. And then here's the key thing. The use of other means can be justified only by overriding considerations of public interest. So for me, the guideline is there no other way to get the story? And is the story sufficiently important to justify this? Because there's always a social cost when you lie. And in this case, again, I think Lavender did the right thing. This was an important local story. They had no other way to get the news. It was okay for them to be deceptive in this case.
Randy, you write the ethicist column for the New York Times. Let's examine just a little bit more closely your idea that this was a public service. It could be argued that this was this guy's private life.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's a policy guideline many magazines interested in gay rights consider. When is it legitimate to out someone? And here's the guideline I use. Even public figures have a right to privacy about their intimate lives, except when they voluntarily choose to make that relevant to public positions they take. So you couldn't out a gay, say, if we had a gay Secretary of Agriculure, this person's private life would have nothing to do with their function. But if you're a politician who, say, leads the charge to oppose marriage equality, then your being gay is relevant to what you voluntarily made a public action, and then you can out the person. And it's this latter case that happened here.
Right. Neil Carlin, before we go, any sense of this reporter who was there for 7 months that this individual was struggling with this, that his public persona was an attempt to deal with something that was such a demonic force inside of him?
You know, there wasn't a whole lot in there. The basic feeling, the basic revulsion, it came from people at first thinking this isn't Minnesota Fair, but now the feeling, someone told me, I thought it was well put, that it was sleazy but unethical. But not unethical, sort of like you're not guilty, not innocent. And I think the Constitution says nothing about sleazy journalism. But most people here have turned, and they think it's not unethical. Maybe not ethical, but not unethical.
That's a fine line.
It's a gray area. Yeah.
Neil Carlin, writer from Minneapolis. We also spoke with Randy Cohen, who writes the Ethicist column for our partner, the New York Times.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.